C1G.
Number 5B.
Yes. So, we take now these days of creation specifically and consider what they imply. So we go to the text of the first day of creation of mind. And we consider the epitomes that we have here in the study material. And you see that these epitomes are not just restricted to bring out the main tone of each individual day, but that each individual day is somehow analyzed into sub-subjects, into sub-tones. We usually have the terminology that we say what is stated here in bold letters, that we say this is the main tone, and that which is stated in ordinary type, right, type setting, are the sub-tones. So the main tone, as we have seen, of the first day of light is that we see mind manifests itself as a creation of ideas. Now, this fact is further elaborated in the Bible, because the Bible has various verses on the first day of creation and gives a finer presentation, namely through those shades and hues of the subtones, in order to bring out very definitely what is meant by the first day. That first day, as we see here, has three subtones, namely mind as the overall tone of the creative ability, as the manifestation, as the creative manifestation, has three shades, namely a shade of mind in it, and a shade of spirit in it, and a shade of soul in it. We call them mind, mind as spirit, mind as soul. These are our words, this is our terminology, so that we understand each other. How does the Bible bring out these three subtones? Mind is mind. The Bible says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be light. And you can see, and there was light. So we have the let there be, from mind standpoint, is mind. That says, let mind be, let mind create, but what? Light. Ideas. Light stands for intelligence, for intelligent ideas. So the very first subtone, mind as mind, would say something to us, say, the creative mind says, let there be ideas, intelligent ideas. So that's mind as mind. So our epitome here is mind, that would be the main tone, mind creates all, that's the main tone, mind creates all in ideas, that's the subtone. It shows what is the nature of this creation. Yes, that is the Bible that says, let there be light, and there was light. And Mrs. Eddy gives a scientific explanation of it, which is very concise, very inspiring, and very deep. And you can see the exactness of what she is presenting. Though we always must see that what Mrs. Eddy presented was not just a numeration table of Christian Science in the textbook, not just showing always 1 by 1, 1 by 2, 1 by 3, 1 by 4, 1 by 5, and then afterwards 2 by 1, 2 by 2, 2 by, you know, just rattling down the same way. But she naturally gives a symphony. But within that symphony, we must detect really the laws governing it. So she says here, immortal and divine mind, you can now hear here the great tone of mind, presents the idea of God. So mind is mind. It presents the idea of God. But how? And already at this point she gives a preview of the whole day. Namely, first in light, you know, light as an idea of mind. Second, you see she has an enumeration because there is order. Second, in reflection. Now we know that reflection is an idea of spirit. And third, another one, another stage, in spiritual and immortal forms of beauty and goodness. And we see the whole identity of that idea. So actually what she is saying, in other words, is that mind presents itself as mind, and then as spirit, and then as soul. We only must know the ideas and be able to translate them into synonymous terms, and then we see the order of it. So can you see that somebody who does not know the same synonymous terms, and therefore does not know that light is symbolizing mind, that reflection is symbolizing spirit, that spirit and immortal forms are identities of soul, if they don't know that, then they read just terms, but no order. But we read at once order. We read at once that mind presents itself as what? First as mind, then as spirit, and then as soul. And therefore gives us a much clearer insight into the order and scientific process that is going on in creation. But this mind, then she says, creates no element nor symbol of discord and decay. So here and there she brings in the negative side, the other side of the coin. Whenever she feels I can bring out a positive clearer by also showing what the suppositional opposite would be, she does it. And think of it if we see that, what it means. That this mind creates therefore no symbol or no element of discord and decay, no symbol of discord and decay. Can you see what she says? She takes away the sense that there could be another mind that would create in an evil way, that could create discord. So she strengthens it again and says, God creates neither erring thought. Neither erring thought. That's a counterfeit of mind. And therefore no mortal life, counterfeit of life, no mutable truth, counterfeit of truth, no variable love, counterfeit of love. You have that wonderful sense, you see, that if we start outside of mind, with anything, from any standpoint outside of mind, if we start with erring thought, that can never bring out anything that is of the nature of life, truth and love. That mind alone, mind capital M alone, can really demonstrate life, truth and love. Do you know what she's saying here? Can you see the bigness of it, what she's saying here? Let's say you are troubled. Troubled about anything you like to be troubled. Where does it come from? It certainly doesn't come from mind. Because mind only presents itself as the ideas of God only. Therefore, and presents itself first in ideas and in reflection, then in immortal forms of beauty and goodness. Where is there something to be troubled about? Therefore, it says to our concept of being troubled, it says, but this mind creates no element, not even a symbol of discord and decay. Therefore, it's never created. Therefore, there is no possibility for another mind to create anything that is of a discord or of decay. Therefore, God cannot create either an erring thought. Therefore, that erring thought has never been created. That erring thought out of which came mortal life, mutable truth, variable love, that whole gamut of error. There is no mortal mind that can create it. Do you see what it says? Do you see why I said at the beginning that the chapter on creation gives us a very high basis for treatment, a much higher method of treatment than the 12th chapter, Christian Science Practice, because it goes right out from the synonymous term, that mind creates the only ideas, and in that mind there is no mortal mind that could create anything. There is no erring thought. You see the difference? In the chapter on Christian Science Practice, it would say, well, all disease come from erring thought, mortal mind. That's the cause of disease. They come from there. Here it says, there is no other source. Therefore, because there is no other source, no other source has been created. Therefore, from there cannot come sin, sickness and death. From there cannot come any discord. Can you see the difference? The Christian Science Practice corrects mortal mind. Genesis corrects that there can be mortal mind as a cause. And that's a higher sense. Therefore, My advice to you, if you are really in trouble, and I always say I hope you really get into trouble, because only if you are in trouble you really begin to learn something about Christian Science. Because then you have to pull up your socks, and you really have to do business about it, and you really have to be devoted to it, or you will not survive. So that's the best thing. But if you are there, and it seems you can't get out of it, go back to this. Go back what is said here in mind as mine. Wonderful. Because it says, you silly us. You were thinking that there can be something like erring thought, and that erring thought could produce something like mortal life, like mutable truth, and like variable love. You really should be more enlightened than that. Really, what you have to do is to see that this is not possible. There is no possibility for a mortal mind, and therefore there is no possibility for mortal mind to do any of their tricks. And you go right up to really there where she started out, that in divine science, error, matter is unknown. And you fill your consciousness with that which can be known, namely mind, knows only its own ideas. Then the text goes on and shows that creative sense of mind from the point of view of spirit, because the text then says, and God saw the light that it was good. You see, now it is qualified. So it's not just that Antaire was light, and you don't know yet if that light is good or bad. Now, the quality, the nature of spirit, the substance of spirit must be shown. Spirit is good. So here she says, and that light was good. Why was it good? And God divided the light from the darkness. Can you hear again? Spirit that separates. And through separation, because it separates the light from the dark, it is good. Because God says, I am separated from evil. I am not mixed up with evil. There is no duality of good and evil. So at this point, Mrs. Eddy says that God's spirit, can you hear the subtone of spirit? That God's spirit dwelling in infinite light, dwelling in infinite mind. Can you hear mind or spirit? From which emanates the true idea, from mind only emanates true idea, is never reflected by aught but the good. And you have the reflection of spirit as good. Yes? You remember what we just had in mind as mind? Mind presents its idea first in light, second in reflection. And that reflection is good. So you get in the tonality that mind is always of the nature of spirit, and spirit stands for good. You know, the definition we have in the glossary for good is spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. So it is good, and therefore that mind is reflected by spirit, that mind reflects good. But it only reflects good when we have made that separation between darkness and light. Then comes the third tone, subtone, mind as soul, which gives to that creative mind a little touch of soul, namely of the unchangeability of soul. That soul is unchangeable, that soul is definite, that soul has identity, therefore must give to this creation of idea a certain sense, an unchangeable sense, that that creation of idea cannot be changed, cannot be altered, cannot be touched, that it stays what it is, that remains what it is, that is immortal, that it does not lose anymore its inner nature, namely, and God called the light day. The moment the light is day, the day is day, and therefore shows there is no night, and so the light becomes a record of light, a constant flowing of light, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now here Mrs. Eddy shows what is meant with that day, namely that she says here that the day of spirit, that the day of spirit is knows no solar rays, no planetary revolution, that the day of spirit is a spiritual day and not a calendar day. So she does that away first, and then she gives the real tone of mind as soul by saying that immortal mind makes its own record, has its own history. Therefore shows that mind's creation goes on and on and on and on and makes its own record. Terrific. So only that which mind brings out is a record, is a history of mind. And therefore, we could always see only that which mind says, which mind speaks, as actually a history, is actually something that has identity, that has reality, that has tangibility, that has to be taken serious. All the rest has not to be taken serious. Now, Arjun Doli always used to say when people came to him and said, you know, so-and-so has said so-and-so about me, and he said this about me and that about me. And then he would say, after all that long story, is that all what he said about you? They said, yes, isn't that quite enough? He said, well, then nothing has been said. Because only that which mind says has any record. That only should be recorded. That is the only story that we should take into account. All the rest is blah, blah. You know, absolute blah, blah. And we know from investigation that they once made a few years ago at the MIT in Boston. Yes, you call it MIT, huh? MIT. That they found out by investigating what people are talking from morning to night that 95% is absolutely of no value. That it doesn't change anything. And I think they were wrong, because the percentage is much higher. It's about 99.999. Because who is talking something about God, and who is talking about God in the right way? But only that is of value. Only that should be recorded. That's why the Bible is recording the Word of God, and stood for all those many thousand years. All the rest is no more of value. And we should think about that. That mind as soul, we have epitomized it as this, that mind makes its own record, a record of ideas. So that mortal mind has no record. Isn't that beautiful? Can you see what the world opens up? Genesis is the creation of a new world, of a new universe. Do we want to have the old universe and just put the sugar layer on top of it, which is called spiritual? Or do we get rid of the old cake and say, let's have a new one, let's cook a new one, let's cook a new universe, let's have a new universe? What kind of a universe can we build up? Well, the first day says the only universe that can be built up is by mind, capital M, the divine mind. Only what the divine mind creates is a true creation. What does mind create? Mind is mind. It creates only ideas. Not illusions, not opinions, not blah, blah, only ideas. Therefore, these ideas, at the point of mind and spirit, these ideas are good. The only good there is in that whole universe is mind's ideas. But illusions, opinions, are no good at all. That's why we can discard them. Have you ever heard, or ever seen, or have you ever demonstrated that all the gossip that goes on in your life and around your life have saved you, have been a savior, have helped you over the grave? Oh no, it's all rubbish. So, therefore, mind as soul says, all that mortal mind stuff, all that what God does not say and what is said, is all one big record of mortal mind. And it's night. He called the darkness night. But the record of ideas, the flow of ideas, the constant inspiration of ideas, the constant influx of new ideas, to think in terms of ideas, and only in terms of ideas, gives one a very definite sense of a creation. definite means soul. Mind as soul makes everything of the nature of idea definite and reliable and secure. And that should be our universe. Yes. So that would be the first day of creation. Can you see what Mrs. Eddy did, and what especially John Dolley was accentuating with his method of epitomizing? Mrs. Eddy took the symbols of the Bible and showed the metaphysical interpretation of it, the metaphysical meaning of it. And John Dolley went one step further as a help. He took those metaphysical ideas that Mrs. Eddy presented and said, I put them into a category, into a scientific category. I don't let them there as if they were isolated ideas without having any gender, without having any category, without having any place value in the whole. I go and put them into the category of the seven and the four and the four. And by putting them into the category of the seven and the four and the four, we can drop, so to say, all the symbolization of biblical symbols. We can drop the symbolization then of the metaphysical symbols and just take the core of everything, namely what God is. And God is only the seventh synonymous term and the four operational sense. Therefore, we begin to simplify our whole reasoning into just these three categories. So that actually I only have to know 7 plus 4 plus 4, how much is that? 15. And I cover with that the whole universe. Do you see what we mean? What we want to drive at? What science means? Science is not knowing 10,000 different isolated truths. Science means reducing everything really to as few elements as possible. That's science. And that's what Mrs. Eddy has done, and what John Dolley then had to bring to the front and to the surface, so that at our time we could fathom it. Isn't it terrific? That there we are, at the point where we could see, if I culture myself in the seven and in the four, I have everything.